following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Anyone can say they're the best, and it's not easy being the best. Get in and see why Wizards is the best. Great deals on gifts and smoking accessories can be found right now at Wizards. Check out the large selection of Woodwick candles with new lower prices, vaporizers, shirts, hats, and so much more. Say Radio Memphis and get an additional 20% off at checkout. 15 minutes from West Memphis, 1999 Madison Avenue in the heart of Midtown. Online at wizardsmemphis.com. Open every day. Wizards! Because it's still smoking. Must be 18 years of age or older to purchase smoking-related items. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, aloha, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, the show that loves to, I don't know where that came from. It was an old bit I did a long time ago when I first started this thing, which is odd. You know, I go back and I look at some of the episodes that we've done over the years. And it's funny to see the evolution of this show. That little greeting that I do, that greetings, salutations, hello, how's it going? I don't know where that came from either. It's just one of those things that's just kind of, you know, leaked its way into the show, which is about right. This is about, you know, organic things here. I often sit down and have no clue of really what direction I'm going to go in when I go, and I do it, and you know, such as that. And we, you know, you just keep right on rolling along. And hope for the best. I was had a conversation with a friend out west, out in Sacramento, California, and she was telling me that there's apparently quite a few folks out there that really like the show. So thank you for that. That's cool. So yeah, I look at the numbers and I see, you know, that where the downloads come from, and they are primarily out west. it's kind of cool. It really is out there in San Francisco and all up and down the West Coast. So thank you for that. That's kind of slick. What I wanted to get into today was really more about the in the business, if you will. There's this kind of a strange thing that goes on in people's minds, especially those that are not in the business but are somehow attracted to it in some strange fashion. And there's a thing that goes on where they're like, oh, they're fascinated by radio, or they're fascinated by the broadcast business in general. That a lot of people think that it's, you know, so it's a pretty soft job you got there, bro. You know, anybody can do it, right? You just sit there and you know, run your mouth, and you know, I've been told by a lot of people that I got a good knack for radio, and you should give me a job. You know, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that at all, because people seem to think that this is just, you know, plain and simple and easy to do, and it's not. It's not easy to do. It involves a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of hearing the word no. There's a cat meowing in here, by the way. It's Murphy. Yeah, I hear him. Yeah, he's being an ass. Yeah, it's real professional, bro. Leaving a cat in the studio. See what I mean? You know, it's that kind of stuff that I don't. I'm to the point now where I just don't care anymore. You know, I'm in this business because this is all I've done pretty much all my life, aside from I've had the odd part-time job here and there, but for my career choice has always been this business. For right or wrong, it is. It's just the way it goes. It's the way it happens, and I dig it. Now, why do I like it? I think that's the question that needs to be asked and answered, is to why people like us like what we do. Why are we in this business? And it's a hard question to ask or to answer, really, because we're in it for various reasons. Those of us who are in this business do it because of its own rewards. And it's certainly not financial, but it is, we feel that we are trying to do, we're trying to accomplish something of good. We're trying to leave a mark somewhere that makes it makes the world a little bit better place. For me, if I can you know, get a laugh out of something, find a joke, that's great. If I can somehow provoke an individual into thinking for themselves, that's fantastic. I dig that. I really do. It doesn't always work out that way, and that's all well and good. But, you know, if you know, out of the, I don't know, 300,000 people that subscribe to the show, if any one of those people have a moment where they stop and they consider, you know, consider something that they normally would not have, then I feel like I've done my job, and that's a good thing. You know, it's not about sitting here and running my mouth for a half an hour on a show like this, or 5 hours on the other show at Radio Memphis. It's not about that. There are those, though, who approach this business with precisely that all their only reason is to get into this business so they can hear themselves talk, and they're finding that the only reason they want to get in there is because they feel that this is somehow a shortcut to fame and fortune. Ha! There is no fortune. Well, I'm sure there is. It can happen. But there's no fame. Yes, you can be relatively, you know, known or somewhat famous in some aspects or another, but it comes at a pretty, you know, pretty great price. You have to figure out where it is in this world that you're going to fit. And if you're going to be, you know, if you're in it to try and be famous, you're in it for the wrong reasons. You know, I've had this happen. We've had people that have come into the studio and they have said things like, well, first of all, I love this one. You need me. No, I don't, really. We've talked about that before. Or I've heard that, oh, so-and-so really wants to get into this business so bad he could taste it because he really wants to be famous. And that's not the case. That's you should never approach it with that because if you want it, it'll never happen. Put it that way. I'm not in this business to be famous. I've been famous as far as television goes when I was a television news. Yeah, I've been there. I've done that. It is... I mean, it has certain aspects of it that are okay, that are easy to deal with, but for the most part, it's not. There's a point where, I mean, it's just the price that you pay for getting into this. And I'm not going to bitch about that because it's going to be that whole, you know, well, you know what you're getting yourself into. Well, I know that, you know, so I'm not going to bitch about that. I'm not really bitching about that at all, quite frankly, because I dig the, you know, I dig the work. And I've seen people that have been literally seduced by the microphone. They'll step into a situation and they think that they're like, they'll step into a radio station and they're thinking, you know, right out of the box, this is it for me. When they don't even have a clue of how it's done. They think that it's all about themselves, and it's not. And that's a critical distinction to make. It's not about that individual. You know, you don't do a show because it's about you. And what people fail to understand that really, you know, being, you know, working in this business, working a show, doing a show has, I don't know, that you have to remember that what you give to the public for free only represents about maybe 0.5% of everything you do to get to that point. Doing a show can be relaxing. It can be hard work. It can be very rewarding. But doing it because, oh, I'm on the radio now, look at me. No, I do it because I'm going to expose somebody to maybe a new song, or I'm going to impart some information onto you that is either designed to be amusing or informative. Or it could be provocative. It could be whatever the case. I do it for that reason. This is a true story. I was early on in the history of this radio station. I was talking to an individual who wanted to work in the sales department at Radio Memphis. Right, it's an integral part of the business. It's tough, I can tell you that. And the this person was. We were having a conversation, and I had to excuse myself for a moment. And when I came back into the room, this person didn't know that I was there, and this person had their back to me and was on the phone, which is fine. You know, you do what you do. And I hear the following words. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and take this job, but as soon as I prove myself as an actual air talent, he will put me on in that position. I'm here to get on the air. I'll do whatever it takes to get on the air. And that ended the conversation. That's just not going to happen. And I know it seems like a kind of a trite little thing, but the people that have it, the people that can do this work, the people that can, you know, impart information or humor, that's, you either have it or you don't. You can't teach that. You can't teach it. I mean, there's certain things you can teach about style and the way things should be done, but as far as having the ability to do or say certain things in a certain manner, that really can't be taught. It can be guided. It can be manipulated a little bit. It can be, you know, teased and perhaps taken care of to grow, but it's not for everybody. It really isn't. And there are those people who like to work in this business that don't have that gift, but like to work in the business in different capacities, whether it's in sales or promotions or I don't know, any of the other million other things that need to go on. That's well and good. They find that work just as rewarding as anything else. You know, I've worked in many, many capacities and met many people in this business who were, you know, they loved working in that department that was not on the air. And I would tease them. I was like, come on, get on the air with me. And I go, no. I'm terrified of that. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, look, I have a fear of public speaking. I've had it for my entire life. And, you know, getting on the air was never really, you know, it wasn't because I was told I had a good voice. I've been told that, but I didn't get into it because of that. It wasn't anybody going, you should be on the radio. You got a great voice. It wasn't like that at all. It was like, this is fun. I want to get into this. Now, initially, my family was a bit, they were a bit put out about it because they knew show business was, you know, not to be gotten into. I'm the only member of my family that's in the entertainment industry, and well, kind of. I've got a nephew that works in theater, but that's a whole different deal. The idea that that you get into this for the wrong reasons creates a pretty ugly scenario. It really does, because a lot of the people that I have worked with that were very successful on the air were people that really had no desire to be on the air in the first place. Diana Fryer is a prime example of that. You can hear her at Radio Memphis on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Central and on Mondays at 7 p.m. Central. And you can, she's been a guest on this show a few times. She never had any desire to get on the air. I pushed her into it because she has it. She has what it takes to do the job. She has what it takes to impart information in a clever way, and she's easy to listen to. And she didn't want to do it, but she's glad that she's doing it. I mean, she's to the point now where she doesn't want to take on any more shows. I can tell you that, but which is fine. I mean, that's up to her. Ultimately, I'm glad to have her aboard the radio station staff, because it works out. It does. It works out for us. And then there are those who think that they have been given the gift of the gab, if you will. They have been touched by the hand of God, and they feel that they can, that they're so good at this, and they've got such a history with this that by God, this is what they're going to do for the rest of their lives. And these are the same people that when they've gotten blown out by corporate radio, they sit there and bitch and whine and moan and be completely bitter about it. He was looking at you, bro. Yeah, I know. I've done that. I've bitched and whined and moaned about it. But I did it in such a way to perhaps instill a sense of, I don't know, pride in what we do for a living. And instead of letting these corporate monkeys that have destroyed the business for what they have, to perhaps have a change of heart. We talked about this before. The, you know, AM and FM radio, terrestrial radio, if you will, they've dropped the ball. They've absolutely dropped the ball when it came to adjusting into the digital world. They'd like to think that they haven't, and they'd like to think that what they're doing is still important, but it's not. Not on their end, it isn't. What we've done at Radio Memphis and at Pirate Radio Studios has certainly been a lot more proactive, and we've got a bunch of things that are about to pop here pretty quick. We've got our sixth birthday coming up, and there's going to be some pretty big stuff that's going to happen. Just so you know. Nevertheless, when you approach this business in the wrong light, you're going to ultimately be bad at it and be miserable doing it. I've seen that time and time again. I've met many people that all they thought of was themselves, and the only reason why they are in that position was for themselves. It has nothing to do with the company they were working for or the station that they were representing. They would, I mean, there was ego, of course, but there's, I don't know, it can go beyond that. There's narcissism that comes into this, which is insane. It's insane to me to see that. The whole, this is true. I've seen certain radio personalities, when they go to a public event, a live broadcast somewhere, and they're in a bar, and they're seated at a table doing a show, that they actually set up stanchions and a velvet rope thing around them to keep people away from them. I sit there and go, the fuck? You're there because they like you, right? And you're getting paid for it, obviously. But these fans are there because they like you. They want to shake your hand. They want to have a couple of minutes with you to talk, perhaps sign something, perhaps take a selfie. Oh, I don't want any part of that. So they put their sunglasses on in dark, in a dark place, and they sit behind their little velvet rope where people can't get close to them, and they just wave at them from a good, like, it's you can't do that. It's wrong. It's unfair, and it's silly, and it looks ridiculous. And that, I think, is a good way to look at how some people have gotten into this business for the wrong reasons, because now immediately they thought, oh, well, I'm in it because it's me. Well, they somehow managed to get successful enough that they have enough fans and followers, and they go, see what I mean? I'm in it for these people are here to see me. I have nothing else to contribute to content, but they're here to see me. 1,000 times I have seen this, and a lot of them from like a handful of people. And it's everywhere, and it's unfortunate because, you know, you're approaching it the wrong way. It's a tough battle. It's a tough road. It is hard to do this. And what's really hard about it is doing it consistently day after day after day, even when you're having a shitty day, as opposed to having a great day. When you've got a lot of, when your back's against the wall and you're dealing with the fears and the worries and the usual shit that everybody else deals with, you can't display that out there in the public. The audience doesn't give a shit about that. Yeah, sure, there's some that are sympathetic to it because you're a human being. You know, if there's a death in the family, you go on and do the show as best as you can. Work your time off around it. I've had to do many, many difficult shows. Not necessarily a death, but it has happened. Sacrifices have to be made to continue on. But you never talk about that stuff on the air because nobody gives a shit. They're too busy wanting to hear the joke. They're too busy wanting to hear what's being, you know, what they're used to hearing. The bits. Bring out the bits as though there were just some paper clowns being trudged out for everybody to laugh and smile about. There's a thing, the tears of a clown, you know, that, you know, outside the outward appearance of a clown is amusing and fun, and inside he's just torn apart. This is what's kind of messed up. But the people that have it, the people that can do this job and that are good at it, are often weeping inside. I laugh because it's true. And you're probably sitting there going, God, yeah, man, you are fucked up. Well, yeah, probably. It takes a certain bit of being messed up to be that way. Depression runs rampant amongst us in this business. It really does. And when sometimes when you talk about it, like I'm doing it here, because it's a little peek in, you know, a peek inside the head, if you will. But when you see that, a lot of times you can make a connection with an audience member who, or fan, who feels the same way you do. Maybe not in the same business, obviously, but But you know, they go through the same feelings that they have. And now they're hearing it from my perspective, and they're going, well, wow, okay, he can cope with it. Maybe I can cope with it too. Yeah, there's ways. You just do it. I'm not miserable by any means. It's hard to explain. It really is. It's hard to explain. I'm not miserable, but sometimes I'm just weeping inside. There's inside of me is a perpetual 12-year-old that is just, you know, who still laughs at fart jokes and all of that stuff. But it's also a very scared little boy. And that's how we operate. And sometimes we can impart some of that into the things that we say. You know, some of the little extraneous voices that I have thrown into this show, the, you know, hey, bro, that guy, you know, that's basically him. That's basically that child. And so I know somebody's sitting there going, man, you got this personality problem, dude. You need therapy. I know. I probably do. Then again, I don't. I ran into my former therapist not too terribly long ago, and we had a chat. We were at a restaurant, and I was chatting with him out in the parking lot, and he did the quick little tune-up. He's like, so, you okay doing this? Is this everything? And he knows me. He knows me very well. And we were talking, and I was honest with him, and he was honest with me, and he said, nope, you're fine. You're about as normal as you're going to get. And that's you're about as normal as you're going to get. And when you have that, hey, I'm right, all right. Yeah, I feel okay. I'm coping. I'm getting up every day with my feet on the ground, and that's all that matters. And I get to go do a job that to me is very rewarding. And like I mentioned, financially, not so much. But personally, psychologically, emotionally speaking, it's very rewarding. And it's not because of the fact that there's a room full of microphones that I get to walk into every day. That's the most terrifying part of the gig. But therein lies the thrill for a guy like me to do what I do on a routine basis. So, you know, those that sit there and they go, I've been told I've got a great voice, I should get in this business. Lost my job at the garage, and you know, I've been thinking about a career change, and I'm thinking, you know, radio might be it. Yeah, dude, no, that ship has sailed with you, pal. Yeah, it's like the same guy goes, you know, I'm the funniest guy at a party. Oh God, here's that guy. You know, yeah, when I go to a party, I'm the funniest guy there. All my jokes are great, and so they tell you jokes. They want to make you laugh. Because the worst thing you can do is tell a comedian a joke. And they have you heard the one about the two point? Okay, that is not. I mean, that's a joke shared between friends. If you'll notice, a true stand-up comic is not telling that kind of joke. He's telling a story that's related with a lot of funny punchlines and a lot of very subtle bits of humor. And primarily, it all comes from a very, very dark place. So, you know, keep that in mind. If you bump into a professional funny person and you feel the desire to tell a joke, don't do it, because your feelings are going to get hurt. It's just the way it goes. When two comedians in a room and we're discussing something, there's not that much laughter. You would think there would be, but there's not. A lot of it is, hey, that's pretty funny, or nah, I don't know, try this, try that, because it's approached in a more clinical fashion. Radio people are the same way. You know, we get into a room and we talk all this language, this lingo and stuff like that, and most of us are pretty drunk at the time anyway, but there's this, and it's all usually always bitching about corporate or bitching about how things should be done, but nobody's listening to them. Well, except for the fans, because the fans listen to me every day. Whatever, dude, don't get ahead of yourself. Don't do it because of that, you know. That's the thing. You do it because A, you like to do it, and B, you are giving something to someone. That's why you do it. It's the only. If you don't approach it with that, you're never going to be truly, and I mean truly successful. You have to approach this business with, I have to give something to you. It's like with this show. What are we sitting at? 160 episodes? This has been a consistent run. This is 159. 159 weeks we've been doing this. And I have given this to you. And this is how I feel about it. It's not like, well, I've given this to you, goddammit. You better enjoy it. No. I do it because I feel like I have to do that. And look, don't get me wrong. Time is the most precious commodity that we all have. Some of us have more of it than others. And for you to devote some time out of your day to listen to this means a lot to me. Because this is time that you could have spent doing something else. You know, something productive. Listening to this is not very productive, I know. But hopefully in the past, I don't know, what, 25 minutes now, you've been able to think a little bit about what I have said and perhaps contemplate and maybe know of somebody that falls into these things. You know, it's this, that's what you do. That's all there is to it. There's nothing more to it than that. So, you know, next time an aunt or an uncle says, you should be at radio, be sure and keep that in its proper perspective. As flattering as that seems, you've got to understand that this job, by and large, is really one of the darkest things you ever do. Because if you really, and I've done this for 30 something years, you open up your head and you crawl around into the dark spaces. And that's where you find your own sanctuary. And then you look at the world through a very strange, unfiltered light. And at the first sign of anything sad and trivial, you become a cynic. There's a lot of sarcasm. And there's always the, where's the punchline? So be careful with the seduction of the microphone, my friends. Because it's not always right for people. That's why people, you're looking at it right now in the digital world. Everybody and their mother seems to have a radio show or a podcast. There's a ton of podcasts out there, or God forbid, another radio station. But what they are learning now, because they start to complain. I see this on Reddit all the time in the podcast subreddit. Guys will have put 3 or 4 episodes together and I wonder why nobody's listening. And I haven't participated in any of those discussions, but I'll go and I'll listen to that show. And then it'll make sense why they're not listening. Because they suck. They're poorly produced. And then they wonder why nobody's listening. First of all, it's only 3 episodes in. It takes about 18 months for a show to really kind of catch its steam, first of all. They don't want to think like that because they're bound and determined to do it right now. And it's them and their buds sitting around running their mouths for 4 hours telling inside jokes to each other that they find funny, but the rest of us don't get. And then they wonder, why are we not getting as many downloads? Why are we not featured by iTunes? Dude, I've never been featured by iTunes, and I don't understand how that algorithm works, and quite frankly, I don't really give a shit. The fact that I have the listeners that I have now, I am eternally grateful for, and that's what keeps me doing it. That, and I can sit here and I don't know, vent my spleen a little bit and feel better about myself at the end of it. I've did an episode once called You People, My Therapists. And in fact, that's one of the largest, most downloaded shows I've ever done. So apparently I must be doing something right. But as it has, you know, now you've seen a little bit more into this thing that is this business. So, you know, keep that in mind. Anyone can say they're the best, and it's not easy being the best. Get in and see why Wizards is the best. Gifts and smoking accessories are on sale right now at reduced prices, including a large selection of Woodwick candles, vaporizers from Puff King, Grenco, Wolf, and Stealth Hybrid, shirts, hats, and adult novelty gifts. Say Radio Memphis and get an additional 20% off at checkout. 15 minutes from West Memphis, 1999 Madison Avenue in the heart of Midtown. Online at wizardsmemphis.com. Open every day. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 years of age or older to purchase smoking-related items.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
There's a certain fear that goes on in this industry, and that fear is, a lot of it is, am I good enough? That tends to happen a lot. Am I good enough to make this work? Am I good enough to continue to do this? Am I good enough to attract more people to this all the time? And then there are the times that you know, you see the numbers. Yeah, they're solid. You've got a million people that listen to you. That's great and all. But there's still that thing at the back of your head is, God damn it, am I good enough? You're only as good as your last show. You're only as good as what it takes to be, to maintain this. But there's still that ever-present self-crushing doubt that exists in every entertainer's head. Why that is, I guess, I don't know. There's some type of evolutionary thing that's, I guess, akin to like pushing the fail-safe button, or for that matter, the self-destruct button.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Here in Memphis, we are very fortunate to have a dearth of music here. I know that seems like a dearth of music. We do. We have all sorts of styles, and you can hear it. And even in our little neck of the woods over here, there is very distinct locational sounds. And what I mean by that is that, you know, of course, a lot of the blues that you hear are people that live in, say, like downtown or South Memphis or even North Mississippi, obviously, because you're encompassed by your location and the cultures of your location. North Memphis tends to have a lot of heavy rock up around that way. East Memphis is shockingly that like a lot of rap, which is kind of strange if you've never been out there, because it doesn't seem like it would fit. There's a lot of other like country and stuff out that way. And then Midtown, where I live. Midtown has its own sound. Midtown is cool. Midtown Memphis is the arts district. So because of that's what's why I live here. By virtue of that, you have a very distinct sound. There's a lot of punk music down here. At the same time, there's a lot of straight ahead rock and roll. There's a lot of different types of blues down through here. Some fantastic stuff. And I can listen to a record and go, oh, that's a Midtown sound. Well, that's what I'm going to lay on you this time out. Got a record and an album that it was called Junt Volume 1. Junt, J-U-N-T, is a Memphis word. It can be used for anything. Time to get all up in this junt could be joint, or I think it's everything but a person. I'm not sure, I don't even use the word correctly, but the album is called Junt Volume 1, and it's a compilation record. And one of the songs that's on this compilation record is from a band. They are called Shamefinger. Yes, they are. They're, according to their page here, they are pop, punk, hardcore, have fun, punch things right across the room. You suck, donkey nards. That's what it says on their Facebook page. Which, if you want to go see it, just Shamefinger Band, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And it's true. These guys, it's a good time. It really is. It's a good time. They're a lot of fun. It's a great sound, and we're glad to be able to put them on. This is their first appearance on this show. They are in regular rotation at Radio Memphis, so that's a good thing. But here you go. It's the song. It's called Too Much of a Good Time. It's Shamefinger, kids, right here from Radioland. Too Much of a Good Time from Shamefinger here from Radio Land. Glad that we could get that tune out there for you. You go see them. They play a lot. They play a lot in the Midtown area. They just recently had a show in Midtown at a place called Growlers. They did that a couple of weeks back, and they were playing just after a Micro Wrestling Federation match, which is, for lack of a better term, midget wrestling. But yeah, they play downtown, they play Midtown quite a bit. So check them out. Shamefinger, they're a lot of fun. They obviously, you've heard the song, so you know what it's all about. So there you go. And as such, that's it. I'm done. I got to get out of here. I got things to do. As do you, no doubt. So with that, I'm gone. Y'all take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. You've heard what's coming up next time. We'll see you then. I'm Rick Treader, and this is from Radioland.
Rick Treader from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.